grace, Srila Prabhupada, I surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descended in the form of Kapila, who is independently powerful and transcendental, who is the Supreme Person and the Lord of the sum total of matter and the element of time, who is fully cognizant maintainer of all the universes under the three modes of material nature, and who absorbs the material manifestations after their dissolution. Please repeat after me. I surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descended in the form of Kapila, who is independently powerful and transcendental, who is the Supreme Person and the Lord of the sum total of matter and the element of time, who is fully cognizant maintainer of all the universes under the three modes of material nature, and who absorbs the material manifestation after the dissolution. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The six opulences, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation are indicated here by Kardama Muni, who addresses Kapil Muni, his son, as Param. The word Param is used in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the phrase Param Satyam, to refer to the Samam Bonam, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param is explained further by the next word, Pradhanam, which means the chief, the origin, the source of everything. Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not formless. He is Purusham, or the enjoyer, the original person. He is the time element and is all cognizant. He knows everything, past, present and future, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says, I know everything, present, past and future, in every corner of the universe. The material world, which is moving under the scale of the three modes of nature, is also the manifestation of His energy. Parakshasaktir vividhai vashtuyate. Everything that we see is an interaction of His energy. Shetashvatara Upanishad 6.8. Parasya brahmana saktis tathedam akhilam jagat. This is the version of the Vishnu Puran. We can understand that whatever we see is an interaction of the three modes of material nature. But actually, it is all an interaction of the Lord's energy. Lokapalam, He is actually the maintainer of all living entities. Mukta Nityanam, He is the chief of all living entities. He is one, but He maintains many, many living entities. God maintains all other living entities, but no one can maintain God. That is His Satchidananda Shakti. That is His Satchanda Shakti. He is not dependent on others. Someone may call himself independent, but he is still dependent on someone higher. The personality of Godhead, however, is absolute. There is no one higher than or equal to Him. Kapil Muni appeared as the son of Kardama Muni. But because Kapila is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Kardama Muni offered respectful obeisances unto Him with full surrender. Jaya Sisi Radha Madhava Sriman Mahaprabhu Ki. Jaya Sisi Prahlad Nrisimha Devi Ki. Another word in this verse is very important. Atmanu bhuttanu gatat prapancham. The Lord descends either as Kapila or Rama, Nrisimha or Varaha, And whatever form he assumes in the material world and all manifestations of his own personal internal energy. I'm sorry, I'll read it again. The Lord descends either as Kapila or Rama, Nrisimha or Varaha, and whatever form he assumes in the material world are all manifestations of his own personal internal energy. They are never forms of the material energy. The ordinary living entities who are manifested in this material world have bodies created by the material energy. But when Krishna or any one of his expansions, a path of expansion, descends on this material world, although he appears to have a material body, his body is not material. He always has a transcendental body. But fools and rascals, who are called mudhas, consider him one of them. And therefore, they deride him. They refuse to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they cannot understand him. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, avajananti mang mudha. Those who are rascals and fools deride me. When God descends in a form, this does not mean that he assumes his form with the help of material energy. He manifests his spiritual form as he exists in the spiritual kingdom. Om Ajnana Tinirandhasya Jnanam Jana Salakaya Chakshurun Militangena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishthang Sthapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Maiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupang Sadra Jatang Sahagana Raghunathan Nitang Swam Sajivam Sadvaitang Sabadhitang Parijana Sahitang Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Nitangsya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskite Sapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranam Mami Hari Priye Bansha Kalpatarubhascha Kripasindhubhayuvacha Patitanam Pavanibho Vaishnadebho Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Kardama Muni is offering prayer to his son, Kapildev. Apparently, it is unusual for a father to offer prayers or respect to his son, because father's position is superior to the son's position. But here we are seeing that Kardama Muni, who was not only the father of Kapiladev, but he was a very, very respected Prajapati, he was a very elevated personality, who was considered to be one of the leading sages from the time of art. Although he was respected by many, many great personalities, but here he is offering respect to his son. Why? Because Kardama Muni knew that his son is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, even before Kapildev's appearance, Kardama Muni knew that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to come to him as his son. Actually, Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears to Kardama Muni on the bank of Saraswati River and gave him his darshan, gave him his audience, and announced to him how he is going to get married to Devahuti, the daughter of Sayambhuva Muni. Although Kardama Muni was a renowned mendicant, a sage, living in a forest, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead arranged that Kardama would get married to a princess. And not only an ordinary princess, but the daughter of Sayambhuva Manu, who was the ruler of all the planetary systems at that time. Not only the Earth planet, but his abode, as has been described, was actually on the higher planetary region, and from there he was controlling the affairs, a good part of the affairs of this middle planetary system. So he was the king of not only the Earth planet, but the middle region of the universe. And in that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead forecasted then that he would appear as his son, as Kardama Muni and Devahuti's son. First, there were the nine daughters who would be married to different sages, and then Kapildev, the Lord, will appear as Kapildev, as the son of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, and he will establish the Sankhya philosophy. So, in this way, we can see that Kardama Muni was aware of Kapildev's position, although his son, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here, Kardama Muni is offering respectful obeisances and prayers to Kapila Muni. And this is a very beautiful prayer. We can see even the Sanskrit composition of the prayer is so beautiful. Actually, when one speaks, his emotions are also expressed through his speech. So when someone offers his respectful prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can see they are automatically composed in a very beautiful verse. It is not that Kardama Muni sat down, composed the verse, edited it, and then went to Kapil Muni and offered it to him. No, it was a spontaneous offering. And so here, he is telling his son that I surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, descended in the form of Kapila, who is independently powerful and transcendental. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely independent. Swaraj, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that Kardama Muni addressed Kapil Muni, as Parama. And this Param has been also, this expression Param or Absolute or Supreme has also been used in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam as Saptam Param Dhimahi, that I meditate upon that Absolute Supreme Truth. And who is that Absolute Supreme Truth? That also has been described here as well as in the beginning verse, in the invocation of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Swaraj, Abhijna Swaraj. These two expressions have been used. That he is all cognizant, that Supreme Absolute Truth is all cognizant, and he is completely independent. So it's the same, actually, the same prayer in different words have been used or offered here by Kardama Muni. Here also he says that he is independently powerful and transcendent. Although he appears in this material nature, but he is not material or he is not affected by the material nature, like us. Like our position is shallow, fallible. Although we are also spiritual, but that spiritual energy of the Lord manifests or exists in two ways. One is kshara and the other is akshara. The fallible and infallible. Now the jivas are fallible. They can fall from the spiritual sky and become affected or covered over by the material nature. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His expansion are akshara. They are infallible. Even though the Supreme Personality of Godhead may come to this material nature, but He doesn't become affected by the material nature. He always maintains His spiritual position, and that is the meaning of infallible. This word infallible in Sanskrit has been used, expressed in two ways, as akshara and as avaya, or achyuta. In three different words. Achyuta means also infallible, akshara means infallible, and avaya means inexhaustible. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, when He comes down to the material nature, the spiritual energy doesn't become exhausted. Just as a star, when it falls on the pit of ash, then the spark also loses, the spark loses its fiery qualities and becomes ash. But a blazing fire doesn't become ash. A blazing fire can even burn out all the ash. So that is the difference between a blazing fire and the spark. Similarly, there is a difference between a living entity and the Supreme Personality of God. So, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead came down to this material nature as Kapila Dev, but He maintained His position as completely independent and completely transcendental to the material nature. Actually, He came in order to transform this material nature into spirit. The Personality of Godhead and His associates and His expansion come to this material nature in order to transform the conditioned soul into pure devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead gives the living entity the chance to become free from material bondage when He comes down. And then He is describing Kapildev as He is the Supreme Person and the Lord of the sum total of matter and the element of time. He is the sum total of matter. And He is the Supreme Person, Purusham, and then He is Pradhanam. Pradhanam means the word that has been used is not Pradhanam, but Mahantam. This word Mahantam is coming from Mahat. That Mahat, the material nature is manifested from Mahat Tattva. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Mahantam. He is the origin of that Mahat Tattva. And He is Purusham. He is a personality. And then He is the controller of Kalam, controller of time, and He is Kobin. Kobin means all cognizance. Fully cognizant. So as I was saying, this verse is very similar to the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The qualities that have been attributed there to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are also expressed here. Like there it has been mentioned as Abhigya Sarat, and here it has been, the expression has been used as Kovin instead of Abhigya, and and he is the supreme independent personality, and he is the controller of the three modes of material nature. He is Lokopalam, he is the maintainer of all the universes. So in this way, so many 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 10 or 11 qualities have been mentioned here of Kapindeva. We find another verse in Bhagavad Gita where 10 qualities of Krishna has been mentioned when Arjuna was offering prayers to him, when he told him that Purusham Shashvatam Vidyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. What is the first line of that verse? Param Brahma Param Dhamo Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Vidyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. And then Arjun told that not only I am telling you that you have these qualities, you are Param Brahma, you are the Supreme Brahma, not only Brahma, but Param Brahma. The Mayavadis say, Sarvam Khalidam Brahma, everything is Brahma. But the Vaishnava understanding is, yes, everything is Brahma, but Krishna is Param Brahma, the Supreme Brahma. And then Param Dhamma, he is the Supreme Abode. Pavitram, he is completely pure. Paramam, he is the Absolute. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki, Jai. Jai Shriman Mahaprabhu Ki, Jai Shri Shri Shakti Brinda Ki, Gaur Srimananda. Then Purusham, he is a personality, supreme personality. Shashvatam, eternal, Vidram, transcendental. Adi Devam, he is the supreme personality of Godhead, or he is the God of the demigod. Ajam, he is unborn, and he is Vibhum, he is absolute. So in this way, the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna's inconceivable potency, has been described by his devotees for our cognition, for our understanding. And here, what is Kardama Muni saying to Kapil Muni? He is saying that you are endowed with all those qualities, but I simply want to surrender unto you. So that is the position of a devotee. A devotee simply wants to be dependent, knowing well his position as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of God. Knowing his position as an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God. But in the material nature, we find that everyone is trying to become independent. In the material nature, there is all constant struggle to become independent. If we see the world situation, then we see that how everyone, individually and collectively, are trying to become independent. Individually they are trying, and collectively they are trying politically to become independent. There are so many problems all over the world, and that is all due to the fact that everybody wants to become independent. Anyway, like everywhere, that disease is so intensely manifest. But actually, a living entity's position is to become dependent. The more a living entity tries to become independent, the more miserable he becomes. We have seen, say, in Yugoslavia, some people are trying to become independent. And as a result of that, there is such a big trouble. There is a war going on which is shaking the entire Europe, practically. Everywhere we saw, even in India, so many political groups or so many races, so many religious groups are trying to become independent. And as a result of that, there is intense violence. So many people are dying. The people, those who are trying to become independent, it's not that when they get their independence, if at all they get their so-called independence, they are going to become happy. They will actually become very, very unhappy as a result of that. This has been very nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada in his Bhagavane Katha, one article by Srila Prabhupada which was written in 1948, soon after India's independence. India received independence in August, 15th August 1947, and in 48 Prabhupada wrote that article. That article, called Bhagavane Katha, was printed in Gaudiya Patrika, which is published by Devananda Gaudiya Math, and it has been translated and included in the Wisdom, Renunciation Through Wisdom, the book Renunciation Through Wisdom, the first article. And in that, Srila Prabhupada is actually explaining that all the while people in India were craving for independence. But now that they got independence, they are seeing that they are not happy. They are not any happier than they were before. And Prabhupada explained that at the dispensation of providence, mankind cannot have any rest. By the arrangement of material nature, providence, the mankind, human being, can never be peaceful. He may make many, many arrangements to be independent, but he will never be satisfied, he will never be happy. The only way to become happy is not by being independent, but by being dependent. Actually, living entity's position is dependent. So unless and until he is situated in his constitutional position of dependence to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his energy, a living entity can never become satisfied. We know, the devotees know, that the only person who is independent is Krishna. And besides Krishna, everyone is dependent. Akale Ishwar Krishna are sab bhikkhu. Only Krishna is independent, Krishna is the Lord and Master, and with everyone else is his servant. Jare jeriche nachai, chetoiche karibhi. The way Krishna makes one dance, accordingly one dances. So that is the position of a living entity. Therefore, a living entity becomes naturally satisfied and happy when he becomes dependent upon Krishna and Krishna's arrangement. And that's why our prayer is that when the whole world is trying to become independent, the devotees of Krishna are chanting 24 hours a day, Krishna, I want to be dependent upon you. That is the difference between the materialistic people and the devotees of Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What are you actually saying? We are simply saying, Krishna, we want to become dependent upon you. That is the prayer of that we chant through Hare Krishna Mahamaya. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O all attractive Supreme Enjoyer, please deliver me from this miserable material bondage and engage me in your loving devotional service. Please allow me to become your servant. Please allow me to become dependent upon you. And that is the prayer of a devotee. And we can see, as opposed to the materialistic people, the devotees of Krishna are very happy, very satisfied. Just by depending upon Krishna, the devotees are completely satisfied. Prabhupada describes the position of a devotee is somewhat like a little child, who is holding on to his father, who is holding on to his father's hand. When a child holds on to his father's hand, he is completely free from anxiety. He knows that his father will give him all protection. But unfortunately, when we grow up, then we realize that our father is not actually capable of giving us the protection. Therefore, we seek for protection somewhere else, or we seek for protection independent. We want to protect ourselves. We can't depend upon our parents or our superiors, our guardians. We want to become independent in order to protect ourselves from the onslaught of the material needs. But no matter how hard we try, we can never become independent. But the best way to become dependent is by being surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Krishna is all-powerful. He is omnipotent, He is all-powerful. And not only omnipotent, He is omniscient. He knows everything. And not only He is omniscient, He is also omnipresent. He is present everywhere. So where can we have a shelter like that? A person who is all-powerful, who knows everything, and who is present everywhere. So if at all we are in distress, and if we pray to Krishna, then Krishna will immediately come to his devotee's rescue. There are so many wonderful stories like that, about that, how Krishna comes to give protection to his devotees. Sridhar Swami, the commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam, was a very wealthy person before he took to renounce order of life. And one day Sridhar Swami was traveling alone with him and take away his wealth. So then they just casually asked him whether there was somebody else with him. These people, they were dacoits, but in disguise of ordinary travelers. So they asked Sridhar Swami whether there was somebody else with him. And Sridhar Swami said, yes, Raghubir is with me. Raghubir is another name of Lord Ramchandra, who appeared in the Raghu dynasty. So, but at first, this dacoit thought that he was just saying it without really, it's not actually a fact. Just as sometimes people say, yes, God is with me, I am not alone. So Sridhar Swami said something like, in that note, that yes, Raghubir is with me. But then, when these people were about to plunder Sridhar Swami, then they saw that a greenish-looking boy appeared with bows and arrows and started shooting bows and arrows at them. Started shooting arrows at them. And then these people, they just fell at Sridhar Swami's feet and asked him to forgive them and rescue them from the onslaught of this fiery personality. And Sridhar Swami could realize at the time, that his Lord and Master, Lord Ramchandra, appeared to give him the protection. Although he just said that the Lord was with him, but the Lord is so merciful that he came to give him protection. And Sridhar Swami felt very guilty that the Lord had to take so much trouble in order to protect his material possession. The Supreme Personality of Godhead had to take so much trouble to just protect his material possessions. So he decided to give up all his material possessions and he took sannyas. He left his home and he became a sannyasi. So in this way we can see how the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives protection to his devotees. And even our many of our devotees have experienced that. While doing sankirtan, sometimes some demons attacked them, and as soon as they started to offer their prayers to Lord Nrisingadev, Lord Nrisimhadev just appeared. And I remember one incident when Lord Nrisimhadev not only appeared there, but tore the heart of that demon. This incident happened in Germany in early 70s. The devotees were doing sankirtan in a very, 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 very degraded area. And so then all of a sudden this giant just appeared, charged towards them. And there was no way the devotees could go because just behind them there was this nightclub. And there was a glass wall of the nightclub and there was nowhere they could go. And the man, who looked literally like a giant, and obviously he was a demon, just came charging towards them. And the devotees started to chant, wishing a prayer. Namaste Narasimhaya. And as they did that, all of a sudden that man, he screamed and he jumped up in the air and he fell flat on the ground. And then soon the ambulance came, people gathered there, ambulance came and they found out the man had a heart attack. So apparently he had a heart attack, but the devotees know what actually happened to him. Lord Nrisimhadev came and tore his heart open. It seemed that the vessel broke, that one of the arteries of the, or the vein of the heart broke, and he had a heart attack, but actually it was Lord Nrisimhadev. So that's why devotees are always dependent upon Krishna, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, gives all protection to his devotees. And Krishna not only gives protection to his devotees, actually in this, in the 21st chapter when Kapildev's appearance has been described, it has been very wonderfully described how Krishna also fulfills the desires of his devotees. Like Kartama Muni has certain desires, and Krishna fulfills those desires of his devotees. So, there is the ultimate benefit that one achieves, absolute benefit, just by becoming dependent upon Krishna. One not only gets protection from all danger, but if at all he has certain material desires, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will fulfill those desires and then free him from those desires, and in this way will make him into a pure devotee. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Sri Radha Madhava Srimad Mahaprabhu. Jai, all glories to Asimbhu Devotee. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes, Sundari Prabhu. Okay, Pundarik Prabhu is mentioning about two types of dependence. Like one dependence is like the way the Sudaswami, he refused to depend upon Krishna. And he, when Krishna came to give him protection, he felt bad that Krishna came to rescue him. And the another thing is that in the Vedic culture, the Brahmanas are supposed to be independent. Okay. So the first part, the answer to the first part of the question is that there are different types of devotees, different grades of devotees. At a neophyte stage, one is dependent upon the Lord. But at an advanced stage, one doesn't want to depend upon the Lord, but he wants to serve the Lord, as if the Lord is dependent upon him. But of course, Srila Prabhupada's position is not exactly like that, but he felt guilty that the Lord personally took the trouble to give protection to his material possessions. That's why he says due to the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is all transcendental, he was protecting his material possession because of his attachment to this material possession. Therefore he felt guilty. But this other consideration also is also there, that at an advanced stage a devotee doesn't depend upon the Lord, but he wants to serve the Lord. Just like a son at a young age, he may depend upon the father, but when he grows up, then he wants to take care of the father. Although he is always subordinate to his father, but he feels that his position is to serve his father. Similarly, as a servant, a devotee wants to serve the Lord and doesn't want to take any service from the Lord. That's one, the first half of the question. And the second half of the question, the brahmanas becoming independent. The brahmanas become independent, or rather you can say the brahmanas do not want to depend upon anyone else. They do not want to depend upon the material nature. But they want to depend entirely upon the Supreme Personality of God. In order to be dependent upon the Lord, they want to give up all dependence to anyone else. So that is the position of a Brahmana in the Vedic culture.